Blog Talk Radio.
Truly, I was glad when they said unto me, "Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." What a glorious and victorious day it is. It is, and you know it is. Another day that the Lord has made that we should rejoice and be glad in it. It's Sunday, March the 13th, 2022. Another day, another chapter in this book called Life. And we are so blessed and so privileged to be here, heard on the blogtalkradio.com network, heard on all continents within the world. That's right. That's right. What a privilege it is. What an honor it is to be able to be an oracle in the temple of God, to speak his word to his people, even to the lost remnant that have scattered abroad. And let me tell you something. This is a very extraordinary time that we're living in. We're living in a day and a time where the very soul, the existence of mankind is being put to the brimming stone. That's right. A time that's trying men's souls. That's right. A time of confrontation, a time of elevation, and certainly a time of motivation and inspiration. That's why God is trying to tell us something, but we're not being sensitive to his message. We've tuned out the message that he's speaking, and we're giving heed to what the world is saying. Quick question I want to ask you, those who have tuned in, is you've just tuned in, call your neighbor, call your friend, call a family member, call a co-worker, and tell them to get here now. Get on here now, because here comes the powerful word. Whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord that is flawless, unquestionable, and sovereign in content? Or are you going to believe the report of the world that just shows you the most bleak, the most unethical aspects of society? If you plan on going forth and coming up, prospering and blossoming in your life, you better refer back to the report of the Lord. His report says we are healed, we are sealed, we are free. His report says victory. So come on, people. Come on, believers. Believers who have translated to becoming doers. Those pillars in the temple. It's time for you to rise up. Rise up. And speak loud and stand on the word of God. God is looking for some soldiers that he can send forth. People are talking about, oh my goodness, they're going to be sending soldiers over there in Eurasia to fight the war between Russia and the Ukraine. No. God is summoning his soldiers at this day, at this appointed time, to fight this battle, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What is faith? Go to Hebrews and the 11th chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is based upon knowing, confidence, and what you can't see. What you can't see does not institute faith. But what materializes in the physical realm of things is a result of your faith. Faith is the substance. Substance means matter. That's right. We're not talking about genomes. We're not talking about atomic structure, anatomical structure, none of those things. Isotopes, we're not talking about any of those things. It's a substance. It is a material that is invisible to the naked eye. And it provides to the fact that you know that a higher power is large and in charge, that supervises the cosmos, who supervises the terrain, who is sovereign in content and in intent, and because you have plugged in to the frequency in which the sovereign exists, what you speak, what you believe, what you conceive will materialize into the physical realm. And this is what it says to us in Scripture. And without the element of faith, faith is an element. That's right. It's invisible, but it brings about physical or tangible results. It is impossible to please God. So we've got to fight the good fight of faith, because the battle is already won. The victory is already ours. And all we have to do is just to go in and receive the greatness of what faith will bring about in our lives. Now, that's a rather unusual word, but let me tell you something. So many of us who profess to be believers, translating to being doers, have become so dormant, so laid back, so out of shape. That's right. And when you lack physical momentum and strategic alignment, and you don't work out and you don't exercise, what happens to the physical body? Let's use the physical body as an example. You get lackluster. You get lazy, you become lackadaisical, your thinking capacity slows down, your progression, utilizing your cerebral operations or your brain responses begin to alter. You start getting into a phase where there's, you just don't have any vim or vigor about yourself. And what happens to, we talked about what happens to the mind, but let's talk about what happens to the body. You start to gain weight in places that you know that you don't need to gain weight. Your momentum slows down. Your exertion, your capacity, your endurance level is compromised. Because why? You've become too laid back. And that's what's happened to a lot of believers, translated doers. They become overweight in the natural realm of things, yes, but more so in the spiritual realm of things. They've absorbed all of the filth, all the uncleanliness. I know it's a hard word, but we got to move forward. We got to do this, and we got to do it right. We got to build this house from the ground level up, not from the roof on down. And that's what the problem is. People are preaching and teaching pie in the sky doctrine that's false. It's not even represented through the word of God. 12th chapter of Hebrews tells us we got to lay aside every weight. What is the weight? Here comes the word. Some people are going to be delivered on this very day because of the truth and receiving the truth. The weight sometimes is trying to fit in with the world. He that is a friend of the world, this is the word, is an enemy of God. Some of us want to get recognition. What did God tell us in his word? He that humbles himself shall be exalted, but to him that exalteth himself shall be abased. That means knocked down to the LCD, the least common denominator. Some of us just simply say, you know what, I'm just going to follow the science. Let me tell you some of the God says about science. He said, you know what, the carnal mind, science based on the carnal concept of man's philosophy and application. Now, science is an applicable field of study that has brought about a lot of positive things. Don't get me wrong. Science has its place, but God has his place, and he's sovereign. And what he says, it goes. The word tells us, here it is, the carnal mind is enmity unto God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So go on and talk about science and applicability of science with all the failures. And most of the discoveries of things that they say are relevant to science is based upon hypothesis. Hypothesis is classified and defined as educated guesses or assumptions. But what about the Lord said? He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. So you can't compare science to the mastery of God who spoke this universe into existence. He is the all-powerful. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, at every place, at every given time. Why? Because he's a spirit. See, a spirit can't be contained. It's free to move about. And he's the sovereign spirit. So he's at every place, at every given time. Science says constriction, restriction, location. No. He's the ever-present help in the time of trouble. Science says do the math. Utilize the structure of human capacity. No, God says what? He spoke all things into existence, and he breathed the breath of life into Adam. And thus Adam became a living soul. That's it. But see, we got to lay aside. We got to cast some things asunder. We got to get out this worldly philosophy of thinking. We got to get the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is all masterful. The children of the Most High God, this is what the problem is. Some of us have become so mature. We're adults. We're the masters of everything. No. He said, unless you humble yourself and become as a child, you cannot inherit or be a recipient of the greatness of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. We got to be humble. Humble. For blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is our inheritance. But we have to be meek, tender to the Spirit of God, listening to him when he speaks. God speaks, but some of you are tone deaf. Because you've been conditioned that way. You're plugged into the technology. You can't sit down 5 minutes without pulling out that smartphone. That's the dumbest creation that mankind has made. I don't care who gets mad. We got to get this back right. We're to be the head in this society that we're in and not the tail. But we're tailgating because we refuse to accept truth. People don't want truth. They want the sweet tasting words and telling them that when you go to your mailbox, you're going to get a $5,000 check. They want the sweetness, but they don't want to ascertain what it takes to get to the sweetness. God has some miracles in store for us. Be steadfast in knowing that. God has some greatness in store for us. The best is yet to come, but we're in the here and now. And we've got to get through this mess so we can see where we become the more blessed. And we will become the more blessed. But God wants to take some things out. And but you know something? God shouldn't have to do all that. Some of this mess we need to get rid of. Put down the technology sometimes. That's another way the enemy has used that as a vice. It can be a blessing because you can go and do some research in 2 minutes flat. That's wonderful. But some of us are preoccupied with technology. And it's separated us. It has put on a weight in our spiritual life. Purge ourselves. Purge ourselves. I'm to the point now, I only use technology when I have to, when it's required of me. I don't use it as for the entertainment purposes only, because I need to stay in spiritual shape so that my natural life will contour to the greatness of existence that God has attained for me to have. Will long life really satisfy me? Yes, I thank God. I'm looking forward to my 110th birthday. I don't care what you say. I'm going to be one of the most youthful, most dynamic, and one of the most attractive 110-year-old women that you've ever seen. You ain't going to believe my age. Because you know what? If you study the word, you know what God said. He said he will renew our youth like the noonday. So the older I get, the younger I'm going to look. Oh, no, because I'm trusting in God. I'm not trusting in the world. And if you trust in the world, that's why you put on all this weight in the spirit and you can't even pray a prayer of endurance, of steadfastness. You can't even communicate with God and open up the channels where you reflect to him what's going on because you're too weighed down. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You haven't even arrived at the Smiths yet. So let's get this stuff out of our lives. And that's a very, very unusual word to start off our broadcast, but this has to be said because there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but we got to be conditioned to do the work. we're not going to be steadfast. We're not going to be capable. We're not going to be victorious in our endeavors. And remember, the world is looking at us. Let me tell you this. And let's go on into the broadcast, full swing into the broadcast. You know that we're living epistles being read of men daily? That's right. We are being examined on a daily basis. Sometimes you don't even know you're being examined. A person can be sitting across the room and writing in their own journal and looking at you and examining you. What does your examination say? Does it say yay or nay? Let's think about it. Are you always puffed up talking about your accomplishments, who you are, what you are, what you have? No, that's not God. God said in his word to us, start getting back in the word and leave all this worldly contamination factors where it belongs, in the garbage can, and get back into the word. The word purifies us. Some of us, we're afraid to read into the word because we're going to see remnants of what we shouldn't be, and we're going to come to the grips of honesty of where we should be. And that's a good thing. I'd rather take the bitter right here at this moment and then gain the sweetness later than to take all the sweetness now and end up in a spiritual condition of diabetes in the spirit, and you're not fruitful and multiplicious, and your system is not flowing clean. A lot of times we say, oh, well, it means people just hurt it against me. And no. It means that you've gotten off track and you refuse to accept truth, compromise. You want to become lackadaisical, but you want the blessings of Abraham in your life. It's not going to happen. You've got to get on the right path and follow the path through. We're not perfect, but we're imperfect beings that desire the presence and the power of a perfect, almighty, sovereign God, whom his son, Jesus Christ, is his person, is our Messiah and our mediator. If we fall off course and we get off track, we have an advocate through Jesus Christ, who he's what? Just to forgive us and to cover our sins, so that when, Father God, when we make those intercessory prayers, he sees us through the eyes of his beloved son. Oh, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're coming right now. At this very hour, Father God, we're thanking you for the power of your presence and for the anointing of God that breaks the yoke, Father God. We thank you for answering the prayers for healing, Father God. God, a praise report yesterday, and thank you, Father God. We know that your hand is not us, but it's you and your power that goes forth and makes the manifestation of healing evident and apparent even to non-believers. Father God, we thank you for being a miracle-working God that watches over his word to perform it. Father God, we know at this hour as we're crying out to you, Lord, you said in your word that if your people, which are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, you said you would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. Heal the land, Father God, from sea to shining sea, every continent, every citizen, every individual, every believer, every backslider. For Lord, you said in your word that you are married to the backslider, to everyone who is even doubtful in their faith, Father God. We ask that you look beyond their faults and see their need to draw nigh unto you, so that you may draw nigh unto them, that they may experience the height, the depth, and your breath, Father God. We're asking that you touch, heal, bless, and prosper, and do deliver, Lord. Make a way out of no way, Lord. Not only open up the doors of prosperity, but Lord, if it be needful and necessary, Father God, tear down the doors of adversity and let your greatness shine forth, that their needs be met, that there be food on their tables, that there be finances to pay all of their debts, that there be provisions for their families to have the biological necessities of life. But Lord, you said through your word, through the witness of Apostle Paul, he said that you would that we prosper in all things and be in health, even as our souls do prosper. And Father God, we're thanking you for the promises of your word and the fulfillment of those promises. And that you watch over the word and bless every listener whether they be through the technological format or whether they have dialed in, Father God, to touch and deliver them in thy blessed Son Jesus Christ's name, and add a blessing unto the word that's being spoken forth today, that your name be glorified, that your presence be acknowledged. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we say amen. It's so big. That means it's already consummated. You don't have to have anything else behind it. It's already said and done. And thank God for you again. We're going back to the power of the Psalms. Psalms is one of the most instrumental, one of the most anointed, one of the most insightful books in the Bible. Of course, every one of the 66 binaries project a message, project a certain purpose. But there's something about Psalms, there's such a diversity in Psalms that this just can't be challenged. They were talking about a time of rejoicing, a time of worship, a time of adoration of God. Here in Psalms, we can even find a heartbroken man who's seeking refuge, who has no friends, and looks like everything in his life has turned against him. We even see some elementations of chastisement. We see some elementations of doubt, some elementations of fear. Everything is condensed in this book of Psalms. And to every believer, every new convert, even to those who are more seasoned in their desire to have a more consuming relationship, I say consuming relationship because it just constantly gets evolving to become better and better with God, you need to go into the book of Psalms. Because sometimes you will just find things that are just relevant to what you're experiencing, to what your state of existence is, and how God so compliments by responding to the very petitions that are generated in the book of Psalms. And as stated before, we're going to be right here going through each book. We're going to the fifth chapter of the book of Psalms. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. This is a psalm of David. Now, understand this. Psalms is not written totally by David. There's various other writings here that are in the book of Psalms. But David gets the very referendum because he's the star character here. Because we know that because of the anointing that God put on him, that it made him a moving target by those who even professed to be his own friends, wanted to take him out the game because they saw that God had a masterful plan for David because he had anointed him to become the king of Israel. And something else, when you have an anointing and a calling in your life, know that you're going to be noticed everywhere you go. Whether you get notoriety from a good perspective or a not-so-good perspective, you stand out in the crowd. Somebody said, it's like we having an elephant in the room. Yes, you stand out. And this is why it's so important to have that closeness, to lay aside those things from the worldly perspective and get into the very genesis progression of your salvation. Because your salvation is contingent upon your spirituality. How close do you connect to God? How well do you communicate what's going on in your life? Do you know how to pray through the Holy Spirit? When you don't know what to pray about, the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And it even goes forth and speaks words of knowledge about people, about things you don't even know anything about. But see, the thing is that so many of us put limitations on the Holy Spirit because we've been conditioned. We've been generated into cosmopolitan belief systems. Get that garbage out of your life. It's hindering you. Get that cosmetic worship thing going on, putting on these performances. Get that mess out of your life and get to the real perspective of who you are in God so that he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can define you. So he's saying here, meditation. When you meditate, you're focusing on another level of frequency, whereas you're opening up your heart and your mind. And another thing, too, Get away from that worldly stuff. We're talking about, a lady was talking to me and I had to generously correct her, but I correct her in the spirit of that third eye. Get that out of your mind. That leads you over to the occultistic practices of this world. That's worldly. You open up doors, you have no idea what's behind them. It's not going to be like, let's make a deal. You don't know what's going to be behind it. So leave that alone. In the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no third eye. There's only three personages in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's no third eye in the life of a believer. It's just the power of the Holy Spirit generated and working through them, just as it worked through the apostles. The supernatural took manifestation through the power of the Holy Spirit. There was no third eye. Get away from that. So he's saying what I've been concentrating on. When you meditate, you're concentrating. You're opening up and you're releasing what's in your consciousness. And this was in his consciousness, David. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. He's saying, Lord, respond to me. You all that I have in this world. Sometimes God has to remove things. He has to remove people. He has to get us into another level of existence. He has to get us into the quiet room. Sometimes to even get our attention. So we know that it's him. We have to lean and depend on him. And first thing he's saying, oh, that man, he just walked out of my life. Don't you know oftentimes God removes people from you? Oh, that woman, she just picked up and just left. She don't follow me no more. Don't you know sometimes God removes people from you? Oh, I used to have that secondary income in the place, and somehow, some way, they never called me back. Don't you know God removes sometimes establishments from you to protect you, to keep you, because he wants to give you five times more than what you had there at that location. And he has to pill you sometimes to get you to see that. Third point, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. He's saying, Lord, I cry to you all day long. And something about morning prayer, it sets the standard for whatever occurs on that day. It puts a veil of protection around you. It just sets you into the right framework where you're going to be focused upon the power of God. So don't ever forget that morning prayer. We need to pray without ceasing. When you pray without ceasing, that means you're constantly praying. That means you got to get up there and holler, oh, Lord, and do all of that, go through a performance. No, get away from that performance. Just be sincere. Straightforward. Father God, I thank you for this day. Protect me. Keep me. Guide me. Guide my words, Lord, because sometimes I say things that I shouldn't. Sometimes I even think things that I shouldn't. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, I thank you. Straightforward to the point. He's looking for sincerity. He's not looking for the length of your words and the strength of your performance. He's looking for sincerity. He's saying, I will look up. So if you're looking up to where he dwells. For he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what he's looking for. And this is what David was doing. He's saying, Lord, you all that I have in this world, so I need you. I need you more so now than ever. For thou art my God. For thou art not a God that have pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. He's saying, Lord, I know you're not going to tolerate these people to get on my nerves and to do me wrong because you're not a God to tolerate. God won't tolerate wickedness. Sometimes he just gives people enough to expose themselves. And when God is tired of people bothering his children, but again, y'all got to become back children. Some of you all are too grown. Some of y'all are too grown. You put these titles behind your name, these letters behind your name. God's not impressed with that. Go back to the Genesis perspective. just be beloved little children. And I'm still a student in the classroom. I'm still a student. And, you know, this student is a child because there's so much that I don't know and so much I need to know. And as I'm progressing and going, I'm able to instruct and teach others. Don't you know that the lessons and the segments and the sessions that are presented to you, don't you know that I had to endure some level of persecution, that I had to endure some level of being pushed in a corner myself? But you know what happened? It humbled me. I'm a child. I'm a child of the Most High God. So I know that I'm a child, but he has to do all the work. And stop being so grown, because you can't do God's work unless he empowers you to do it. And he has to work the power of the Holy Spirit through you to do it. These are common applications. They're not being taught in these cosmopolitan and cosmetic settings, because to them, it's all about image. It's all about fitting in. It's all about recognition. It's all about money. And also weights. Get rid of those weights. Cast those things asunder. Get up and get into God. And you will see a whole new life open up for you on this earthly terrain. He's saying that I know you don't take pleasure in evildoers. And so, in knowing this, you're going to defend me. Sometimes, don't you know, as people, sometimes they see the righteousness of God working in you, that they don't know you, but they just don't like you. You've never said anything to them. You've never done anything to them. But it's just because you're not like other people. You set out in the crowd. You're that elephant in the room. They want to go at you. They want to take the elephant and put the elephant in the circus. But you know something? God said, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And so when they speak against us, they're trying to harm my character, God will shut them up. You don't have to tell them to shut up. You can speak the truth. Oh, yes, you do. God never told us to be a coward. No. Sometimes you just got to go forth and speak truth. But you speak it in love. So some people don't have the knowledge to know that they're being ignorant, that they're being used of the enemy. And you have to sometimes enlighten them. But if you're walking around here in the cosmopolitan setting of things and put in the religious acclamation, religion don't have power. It's the blood of Jesus that has the power. It's Father God that contains the power. It's not us. Get out that image thing and get into God, and you will possess the land. Okay, he's reading and writing to us in the fifth verse. The foolish say, stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all works of iniquity. God doesn't like the workers of iniquity. He said, you know what, in 37 of these times, if you go consider where they were and who they were, and you won't even be able to find them. That's right. He said, for the Lord shall laugh at him. He seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have plotted against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. I mean, talk about it. Some people don't even wait to backbite you. They face fight you. Your face is right there, and they're just nah, 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 just gnawing, just don't like you. You don't fit in. You're not like us. We're treacherous. We're underhanded. We're conniving. But you remove yourself from that. Because you know why? The word tells us in 24th chapter of Psalms, the vision of Psalms, he that hath a clean hand and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul in vanity, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord and the God of Jacob, Selah. That's why he don't want no parts of no mess. We got to be clean people. Not just physically just clean. That's important too. But we've got to be spiritually clean according to the word. Not according to ritualistic practices, but according to the word. Thou shall destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. What is David saying? God will remove the violent aggressor. He will remove them. And the way that God removes people, we don't even understand, do we? Because he's God. He can do that. He don't need to explain nothing to us. Let's get that straight. He will erase them. And sometimes before God erases them, God strips them of their influence of others. That's right. And the very people that they thought they were influencing to do their evil deeds, God will cause them to turn against them. And then at first it begins psychological, then physiological within them, then it becomes physical. And sometimes the very people that they were in partnership with to do their wicked deeds are the ones that will do them in, and God will allow them to do it. Remember Ahab, when he was envious of Nabal and wanted that vineyard, that wicked prophetess, that false prophetess Jezebel set up there and conspired a scheme to remove Nabal so her husband Ahab could get the vineyard? And guess what? When God rose up the prophet of the world, when Elijah went to them and told them, God saw what you did. And he said, just as the dog licked the blood of innocent Nabal, the dog shall lick your blood even thine. He was talking to Ahab and he was talking to Jezebel. He told them, God saw what you did. You're going to pay for it. What happened? Jezebel sat up in the window trying to seduce Jehu, who was a mighty commander of the Philistine army. And she said to him, sitting in the window, Jehu had Zimri peace. That means, was there peace in the land of Zimri? Something got into Jehu's mind and said, take her and throw her out the window. What happened? They threw Jezebel out the window. She's sitting up there looking all fine, looking all good, trying to seduce this man. She did it for the last time. She hit the ground and said, when she hit the ground, the dogs ate everything except her palm. They devoured her. That's right. That's why he said, you're going to sit in the place of the wicked. You won't even find them. And then old Ahab wanted that vineyard just as covetous. Could have got two vineyards, he said, that was better than Nabal. But he wanted it because it was Nabal. Some people want something just because God gave it to you. God's not going to will it over to them. No. God's not going to strip you to give to them. Won't happen. What happened? Well, actually, when King Ahab was in battle, one of his own men killed it. That's why he wanted it. He basically wanted it. And you know what happened? Just like the dogs licked the blood of Nabal, the dogs licked his blood. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living and an angry God. And these are the lessons that are learned about bloody and violent men. Some people would do anything to get ahead, but they end up getting their head taken off. So it pays to walk in the ways and the pathways of righteousness. Okay, he said, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in the fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. What is David saying in the seventh verse? He said, but Lord, as it relates to me, I'm going to continue to walk the path of righteousness. Sometimes I get distracted. Sometimes the human emotion takes over all of it. But I'm going to continue to honor you, to respect you, and to serve you, so that I may see the greatness of my days here and now and in the days to come, that I may please you, Lord, as opposed to pleasing my flesh. Because you know in the flesh what that man went through with? You know he has some thoughts about wanting to do Saul in. You know he has some temptations, even to those who've been his friends that turned on him. You know he wanted to do something to them. But he knew that God had a masterful plan that he had blueprinted out. That he blueprinted out to his specifications, not his. And he had designed him for excellence because he mastered him unto greatness as being chosen as the king of Israel. So when he would get to the throne, he would be humble. He would know that it was God. It wasn't his capacity as a leader. It was God. So he said, I'm going to remain faithful to my service unto you. I'm going to respect you and honor you. And all that we get and all we see, let's thank God. Let's give honor to God. Let's not get out of place and placement. Be respectful. Respect will take you a long way. 8th verse, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. He said, what? God, be a present help in my time of need, in front of my enemies. And you remember the 23rd Psalm? He says, what? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That means you'll bless me, you'll prosper me, you're elevating me because I'm elevating your name. I respect your name. I love your name. I honor your name. And you said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell and do well. See, dwell means do well in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. So this is what he's saying. So that they will see and know that you're with me. See, when people know that God is with you and divine favor is given unto you, they may not like you, but they have to, that's right, because they know that it's something that can't be explained. They know it has to be God. 9th verse, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wicked. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Now, you know something? Some of the most deceitful people in the world have the gift of gab. They can talk you out of your wristwatch and make you believe that they manufactured it and it belongs with them. And because they have this gift, this capacity, they can literally get anything they want out of you. But see, you know something? The angel of the Lord watches over them. They fear him, and they will deliver them. God has a way of revealing people, some of the most deceptive, some of the most cunning, most vicious people that ever lived. God had a time set for them. And again, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living and angry God. And he's saying to them, Lord, these are what these people are like. He didn't even have to tell God what these people are. But God knows everything, every creature that he spoke into existence, man or beast, living or non-living thing. He knows it already. But I guess David just saying, Lord, I just got to get this out and just say these people are evil. They're low down and evil. See, some people are evil, but some people are low down and evil. Means they will stop at nothing to prove themselves. And this is what he's saying, Lord, keep me, because I can't keep myself. Strengthen me, because sometimes I can't speak. I remember a song that said, Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in your bride. When my way gets too lost, Lord, keep me by your side. And when my way grows weak, always let me see that there's something in my life, Lord, that thou hast done for me. I love that song. That's what you call true to life Genesis songs that takes us back to our relationship, our intimacy factor with God. Lord, don't let me fail. That should be the prayer of every one of us as believers and doers. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own conscience. That means, Lord, let them be destroyed by the very words that they set out to destroy me and the righteous with. Let them be consumed in their own words. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. That means, Lord, let them be just what they sow, because they rebelled against you. They refused to accept your knowledge. They have elevated their leaders. They have exalted themselves. They are doing favors in secret places for each other to give exaltation to those who are not worthy, Lord. Stop their program. Stop them before they get started to the next level. And one word from God, and I want you to understand this, I've come to know this, one word from God changes everything. I don't care who they are, who they think they are. One word from God changes everything. And the very people that are set out to oppress you, God will remove them. He will destroy the evildoers. Why? Because he's not going to let anyone hurt his children. He's not going to let anyone harm his children. He's not going to let anyone destroy his children. It's something about your children. Sometimes some of them are a little bit discretionable, indiscretionable, should I say. Sometimes they're a little forward. Sometimes a little rebellious, but something about the fact that you share the genetics with them. You have this connectivity factor. You go to bat for your children. Mm. And when we behave ourselves like God, oh, my goodness, no people, one of his beloved children is always crying on his arm, always wanting to be held by him. Oh, God will tear up a country about his children that are dearly beloved that way. Don't play with us. Oh, no, he don't play that. You know how we are about our children. We'll go to bat. We might be angry with them. They might do things in our displeasure. But the fact that we share genetics, we have the bonding system going on, we'll go out to bat. And God will do it more so for us than we will do it for our own children. That means don't touch us. Don't talk about us. Don't mess with us. Don't try to set us up, because God will set you out about his children, especially his dearly beloved children. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. What is our brother King David saying? Lord, that those who love you, who pray to you, who give praise and worship you, and truly seek your presence in their life, let them prosper. Let them flourish. Let them be blessed on every level of their life. Let them stay in excellent health. Shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Shield them from all accidents, incidents, and peril. Keep them prosperous. Keep them well. Just bless, 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 bless them. Because they bless your blessed name. See, this is a blessing cycle. It goes and it comes. It makes full circle. It comes back around. The 360, it goes back to 360. The 360 becomes what? 720. And this is the very cycle that God wants to perpetuate in the lives of his children. And the 12th verse says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous and will favor, will thou compass him with a shield. I mean, in your divine favor, in your divine service, you'll always have a perpetual cycle of blessings, of great tidings, of wonderful things, of praise reports, of miracles, miracles, miracles. The miracles come as a result of being blessed. We're blessed because we sit in divine favor. We have divine favor because we seek God. We have the seeking of God because we desire him. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We always think it means fast, fast, fast. Sometimes it's not talking about fasting, but our food and warmth. Sometimes it means just seeking him, cutting ourselves off from the world, laying aside those weights, laying aside those distractions, and just saying, God, I thank you. I'm going on in for consecration. Let me tell you something. I've been getting engaged in consecration. I'm going to tell you something. It's a revitalization. It's a refreshing. It's a bringing forth of a newness. That's right, because God is doing a new thing. And oh, my goodness, it's great. And to those of us who are in the circumference of the consecration, we're going to be blessed the more. That's right. So listen, let me tell you something. On Fridays, if you can, at the end of your week, Friday is a great day because generally most people don't work the weekend. Consecrate. Pray. Read the word. Communicate with God. Make your altar, whether it's in your bedroom, whether it's in your living room or your dining room table, or in your mind. Keep constant the power of his presence in your life and watch the miracles begin to flow. This has been a great and wonderful broadcast. We didn't come to you last week. Again, we were in prayer and consecration. But we're going to continue on as God leads us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's not about religion and organizations and buildings. It's about the power of God unto salvation. We need to have that relationship with him because he wants to do great things through us, in us, with us, and by us. But we've got to be in the way so he can get through us. That's right. And let us continue to do that. And we speak the power of greatness into your life. That those chains, those fetters, those confines be broken in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for this wonderful broadcast. And we're looking for the manner of speaking to continue on. Call your friend. Call a family member. Call a neighbor. Because we're genuine. We're real. We're not putting on a cosmopolitan presentation. We're not putting on a cosmetic display. We're just believers who are transformed into doers of the word so that others can be blessed and prosper. Because you know something? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And let us be prayerful that God will intervene on behalf of those who are in the Ukraine, who are fighting in a natural way of speaking, but we also know there's a spiritual confine here as well. So we're praying that peace comes into the region. And remember when Jesus was on the water and the disciples were getting scared because the boat was rocking and reeling and the vehemency of the winds were making their journey questionable, what did our Lord say? What did our God say? Because when you call on Jesus, you're talking to God because I and my Father are one. Jesus said that you see me, you see my Father. What did Jesus say? Peace be still. And the wind ceased. So we know that God is able and that he will. And that you be blessed this week. And we look forward to seeing you back on next week with the matter. You got your host, the Esquire Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, saying in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Have a blessed, miracle-filled, glorious, and victorious week. See you next week.